In the spiritual world, adiatmic, adibhotic, and adidaivic. At least for those whose vision is not yet completely pure. One time Prabhupada was sitting here in Mayapur. Actually, Prabhupada, when he first arrived, the devotees built him a little hut. Those are the little huts that you see just as you enter the property. So, the Maximus maybe. Maxi Mouse should come here. And of course, now as then, there were many mosquitoes. There were many mosquitoes, and one devotee asked Śrīla Prabhupāda, he said, Prabhupāda, in the spiritual sky, are there mosquitoes? So Prabhupāda thought for a moment, he said, yes, in the spiritual sky there are mosquitoes. So the devotee looked very bewildered, in the spiritual sky there's mosquitoes. But then Prabhupada said, yes, in the spiritual world there are mosquitoes, but they sing, they don't sting. They sing, they don't sting. La la la. Instead of stinging, they sing. Okay, so I thought this evening, because we had a bit of a long kirtan there, I thought we would just take questions, a general darshan this evening. We'll just answer any questions that you have so that we can all be present in the big tent for the performance of the life of Śrīla Prabhupāda. Many devotees as well.
If somebody in material condition, he cannot see Holy Dham, and pure devotees, they can see this, everything, all devotees who come Holy Dham. And what is the difference between just some place in general and Holy Dham?
Some what?
Just some another place and position and the Holy Dham.
When the Supreme Lord descends into the material world, he comes actually with the kingdom of God. Prabhupada said, just like a king, when he goes from one place to another, he doesn't go alone, but he takes his queen, he takes his entourage, he takes his soldiers. So when the Lord comes from the spiritual world to the material world, he brings the spiritual world with him, the kingdom of God with him. Golok Prem Dan, Harinam Sankirtan. Narottam Das Thakur has said that this holy name of Krishna that is descended directly from the spiritual world. So in the case of Navadvip Mayapur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago. And for that 48 years that Mahaprabhu was on this planet, those pastimes were manifest even to those with material vision. That was the Lord's special mercy. Prabhupada said, just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Many of the soldiers on the opposite party, they achieved liberation simply by the fact that they died or they gave up their bodies in the presence of the Lord. They were able to perceive the Lord, and because of that perception, by His mercy, they were able to achieve a certain type of liberation. So also in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was here, even the low and fallen, they also had the opportunity to see the Lord. After all, Jagai and Madhai, they were very sinful. They had no qualification to see the Lord. But out of His causeless mercy, He performed His lila here in Navadvip, and they had the opportunity to get purified by His association. Actually, it's described that when Jagai and Madhai finally surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He requested them two things: to give up sinful activity and to chant Hare Krishna. So he said, "Do you agree?" And yes, out of fear, actually, they, yes, we agree. So actually, he accepted them as his disciples. The duty of the spiritual master when he accepts a disciple is to accept the sinful reaction of that disciple's sinful activities. So Mahaprabhu, he picked up Jagai and Madhai and he embraced them. And when he embraced them, his transcendental form, which was in the mood of Radharani, which was golden like Radharani, that Gauranga, that golden form of Mahaprabhu, turned black. Because he was absorbing the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai, for a few moments, his golden form turned blackish, and all the devotees were very fearful. Gauranga, Gauranga. They were confused because Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shangupanga Shiparshidam Yagnai Senkitan Vaya Ishantihi Sumedasa. Krishna was blackish in Dvapara Yuga, but in this age, the Supreme Lord is known by the fact that He's golden in color, the golden avatar. So they were saying, "This is, you are not meant to be Shyamananda, you are meant to be Gauranga." So Mahaprabhu, he explained to the devotees, he said, "Yes, but I have had to accept the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai." And this is the result. So then he made a declaration, a proclamation. He said, "In the future, should anyone offend a pure Vaishnav devotee of the Lord, I will give him all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai." So if anyone is foolish enough to offend a pure Vaishnava, then he can expect, because whatever the Lord says, it will come true. Satya Sankalpa. Whatever the Lord says, that will come to pass. If whatever a truthful Brahmana says will come to pass, then certainly the Lord of the Brahmanas, Lord Shri Krishna, whatever He says, that will come to pass. So we should be very careful about Vaishnava Aparat, because Mahaprabhu has warned, you will get on your head the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai. And similarly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's so many pastimes, so many lila. And much of that lila is the lila of Patita Pavan, where Mahaprabhu is delivering the most pavan. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did deliver very elevated persons, such as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and others, Prakashananda Saraswati, great learned scholars, educated persons in the mode of goodness, most of his pastimes were dealing with the common man. Understanding this mood, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, in one of his poems, in one of his songs, he calls out to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I am the most fallen. I am actually the most fallen. Therefore, I deserve your mercy first, because you are Patik Pavana. You are the deliverer of the most fallen." So he's taking this position. I get first dibs, first me, because I'm most fallen. He understood the mood of Mahaprabhu. In this way, we can actually appreciate the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like, for example, if you can cure just some, let us say you have some small infection, so you go to the doctor and he puts some cream on that infection, so okay, it's nothing wonderful. But if you have a very serious disease like cancer, and you go to the doctor, that doctor actually cures your cancer. Well, this is something wonderful. Well, let us say, they have not yet found the cure for AIDS. So if someone finds the cure for AIDS, that person will become famous in the world. So it is wonderful, but it is not so amazing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to deliver Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a great logician. He was the greatest logician of the times. Very learned, a very good speaker. And certainly being a Brahmana, he possessed all good qualities. So Mahaprabhu just had to give him little touch, and then he was delivered. Because he was so elevated, he was so purified. Just some misconceptions were there. So Mahaprabhu just gave him a little mercy, a little association. He immediately became a great devotee of the Lord. And Prakashananda Saraswati, of course, he was Mayavadi, he was an impersonalist. But still, the Mayavadi is the impersonalist. They follow rules, they follow regulations, they control their mind, they control their senses. There's no sinful activity. How long did it take Mahaprabhu to deliver Prakashananda Saraswati? He visited the Mayavadis in Benares and he sat amongst them for a few moments. They were very attracted to him because, of course, he is the source of Brahman, which they are interested in. And they saw the Brahman effulgence emanating from him and they were thinking, this is amazing. And he preached to them and they converted. So that is not so wonderful because they were elevated persons. But it is wonderful that someone like Jagayan Madai and others were delivered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is something wonderful. So the Lord is famous for that being Patita Pavan. So we can see that during those past times, the Lord was available even to the most fallen. So then at the age of 48 years in the holy dham of Jagannath Puri, he entered into the temple of Toda Gopinath and concluded his manifest pastimes. If any of you have the opportunity to go to Jagannath Puri and you visit the Toda Gopinath temple, you'll see that deity was worshipped by Gadadhar Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally discovered that deity. He found that deity under the ground. He installed that deity and he entrusted the worship to Sri Gadadhar. And in Sri Gadadhar's old age, he could not stand very well, so the deity, in order to receive his pure devotional service, the deity decided to sit down. He was originally standing, but he, out of affection for his devotee, the deity sat down on the altar. And that is the position he's in now. He's sitting on the altar. And if you're very, very fortunate, the pujari will lift the skirt of the deity. You'll see a thin line in the knee of Toda Gopinath, and it is said that that is where Mahaprabhu entered into the deity. And with that, he concluded his manifest pastimes. But the pastimes of the Lord are eternal, as the Dham is also eternal. Everything about the Lord is eternal. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The name, the fame, the form, the paraphernalia of the Lord, it is all Chintamani, it is all transcendental, it is eternal. So this Dham of Mayapur, it is also eternal. So sometimes the pastimes are manifest, and sometimes the pastimes are unmanifest. So those who have conditioned vision, they're very fortunate to be present when the Lord manifests his pastimes. But those who have pure vision, premanjani charati bhakti valochanena, those eyes who are pure devotees of the Lord, they can see these pastimes even today. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives the analogy of the Saraswati River. The Saraswati River, unlike the Ganges or the Jamuna, sometimes it's flowing on the surface of the land, but sometimes you'll find places it just disappears. It doesn't really disappear, it just goes underground and it flows under the earth. You know, like there are rivers under the earth. So this river flows and then again it comes up somewhere and flows and then disappears. Like, so he gives the analogy like that. That sometimes the Lord's pastimes are manifest and sometimes they're unmanifest, but they're there. I often tell the story that when devotees were with Srila Prabhupada in the holy dham of Vrindavan, and Prabhupada was describing the glories of Vrindavan as it's described in the Krishna book. How the Govardhan Hill is covered with so many forests and there's wild animals roaming there and fresh water and so many wonderful minerals and so forth for the pleasure of Krishna. And there's gopis and gopas, etc. So the devotee was looking around and all he saw was rickshawwalas, pigs, mud, limkas, Fanta, top spot. I don't see the gopas or the gopis, I just see the rickshawwalas. So Prabhupada said, yes, they're here, but he said there's a speck in your eye. Like sometimes the wind is blowing and it blows the dirt or the dust and then something goes into your eye, you know, and then you have to, you know, they teach you in the Boy Scouts, you go like this, you try to get it out, you put some water in there. And by, when that's all happening, you can't see anything. So Prabhupada said, there's a speck in your eye. Oh, that's very simple to do. He said, so he just learned that Boy Scout trick like that, and then he looked and he said, still I'm seeing pigs, monkeys, BTs. So Prabhupada said, no, not that kind of speck. He said, the speck of the dust or the grain of the desire for sense gratification. So if you can remove that desire for sense gratification, then you can actually see the pastimes, the unmanifest pastimes, manifest before your eyes. And Brahmasamhita says, then you have to take that ointment, the ointment of love of God. Just like if you take something out of your eye, you have to give some medicine there. So then you put that medicine of love of God. And Premanjani Charity Bhakti Valochanena, then you can see. So you can say, but how can we have faith? Because we can't see these pastimes, how can we really believe? But we have faith in the vision of pure devotees like Śrīla Prabhupāda. And through their speaking, through their realizations, we understand. The submissive hearer, when he hears from the lips of a pure devotee, the whole spiritual world actually becomes manifest. He doesn't have to see with these eyeballs, he sees through his hearing. It's like I remember when we were children, my mother would sometimes buy this toy. It wasn't a toy, it was a little thing for children. It was like a blank little thing, slate, and then you would rub it with a hard surface, like a pencil or something, and the more you rubbed, then a picture would become manifest. Do you ever see like that? Yeah, you rub the piece of material, then all of a sudden, by that rubbing, there's a chemical reaction that takes place underneath the paper or the plastic, and then suddenly, this picture, for children, it was very mystical. Wow! A tree and a cow and a river. So in the same way, when we hear from the lips of a pure devotee like Śrīla Prabhupāda, submissive oral reception, and suddenly before in our mind's eye, we see the picture of the spiritual world. So one can say that we can't see, so we don't have faith. But because we have faith in Śrīla Prabhupāda as a pure devotee, all these things are available to us. These pastimes have been going on for 500 years, but actually being eternal, Mayapur Dham, there's been many pastimes taking place here. There's one very famous place which we're going to visit in a few days, those of you who haven't gone, called Nisringapalli. That's a lake where the demigods built for Lord Nisringadev. So this was, of course, the beginning of creation. Now, that is when Narasimhadeva appeared. And when he killed the great demoniac king, Hiranyakashipu, and benedicted Pallad, blessed Pallad Maharaj, then he started to go back to the spiritual world. Whereas most incarnations, they stay some time. Krishna spent 138 years, Mahaprabhu 48 years. The incarnations, they... Lord Narasimhadev, his mission was just to protect and deliver his pure devotee Prahlad Maharaj. So he just stayed as long as it took to kill Hiranyakashipu. And he went back to Vaikuntha. So as he was flying over this part of the planet, he looked down and he saw this eternal dawn of Navadvip Mayapur. So being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ete Chamsa Kalopumsha, Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam, India Vakalam Lokam Midayumte Yuge Yuge, being Krishna himself, an expansion, plenary expansion of Krishna, he could realize, in many millions of years I will have my pastimes here as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That will be my most merciful incarnation. So being attracted to this holy dham of Mayapur, Lord Narasimhadev actually put his two lotus feet in this holy dham. And therefore all the demigods came down and with their hands they dug a lake, beautiful lake, where the Lord could take his bath. So then the Lord, Narasimhadev, he went back to the spiritual world. But by his transcendental potency he also remained there as a very beautiful self-manifest deity. How many of you have taken darshan of that deity? And how many of you have not taken darshan of that deity? Okay, half and half. So that is a self-manifested form of Narasimhadev. So in the next couple of days, starting tomorrow, myself and Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj, we're going to be taking out Purkama party to the local holy places. Because the tour group that we're with has not been to these places yet. So tomorrow morning, right after Prasadam, which is generally finishing at what time?
10
o'clock. At 10 o'clock, we're going to assemble just in front of the main gate here, and we're going to go down to the Yogapith, to Shiva Sangam, and to the Smadhi Mandir of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And, we're going to be doing very big Maha Mahotsava Kirtans, and myself and Maharaj will be speaking on the transcendental pastimes that took place there. So you're all welcome. And it will be quite hot, but anyway. And on our way back, we're going to bathe in the Ganges, and we'll be back in time for lunch prasadam. And the next day, we're going to go to the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the other side of the Jalangi River. And the third day, which is the 4th of March, we're going to go to Sri Navadvip Dham, the city of village of Navadvip, and we're going to visit the holy places there. So if you've already been, still you can come again, and if you haven't been, please do come. So just so I can get an idea, how many of you would like to join us for that parikrama tomorrow? Raise your hands.
Okay.
I don't know what is planned here at our... what time will that be?
It started today and it's going from tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, there's a deity installation tomorrow, so you may also stay for that. Otherwise, if you come with us, you have to bring your dancing shoes. Okay. No, no one's feet can touch the ground the whole morning and afternoon. You have to always be... Okay, so I thank you very much. It's a bit short, but I did want to make sure that we're all there in time to see this wonderful play about the life of Srila Prabhupada put on by the Bhaktivedanta players. So right after prasadam tomorrow, around 10 o'clock, we'll leave from the gate there. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Gaurinitai ki, Mayapurnam ki, Gaur Premanandi, Hare Krishna. So this is the holy Yogapith, the exact spot where the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, made his appearance just a little over 500 years ago. As we know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, just before Sriman Mahaprabhu made his appearance, the state of affairs was very bad here in Sridham Mayapur, specifically here in Navadvip. Although 500 years ago the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, had appeared and established Dharma, just a little bit into the Kali Yuga. 5,000 years is not very much into this age, which lasts over 432,000 years. Practically speaking, the real principles which Krishna had spoken about, bhakti, that had, for the greater part, been lost. In fact, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that here in Navadvip, which has always been a holy place, it's actually an eternal dham, so many spiritualists and transcendentalists and so forth were coming to perform their practices. There were jnanis, there were yogis, there were tapasvis, there were so many different tantrics, there were so many different classes of transcendentalists. But this Navadvip Dham was devoid of bhakti. Because Kaviraj Goswami describes nowhere, hardly anywhere, maybe a few Vaishnavas were here, but hardly anywhere you could hear the name of Krishna. No one was practicing the pure principles of religion as inaugurated by Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago. Sarva dharmam parichaja, mamikam saranam vrsha, ham tam savapapyebhyo, moksisima suchaha. Everyone was into karma kanda, performing ritualistic sacrifices to elevate to Svargalok. Whether you're engaged in jnana, speculation, wanting to merge into the absolute. Whether you're talking logic, not this, not that, maybe this, but like this, back and forth. And meanwhile, the mass of people, they were engaged in all types of nonsense. Matirni Krishne, Pratasvatova, it's described in Bhagavatam, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life gradually make progress towards hellish conditions.
чувство, личность, если она не контролирует чувство, больше занимается материальной жизнью, она все больше обрекается на адское существование.
So without the higher guidance, the guidance of higher authority, spiritual authorities, people were becoming entangled in so much material activity.
Поскольку нету никакого духовного лидера, то это живое существо, оно побеждает эту материальную деятельность.
So Sri Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu avatar, he had made his appearance prior to the appearance of Shriman Mahaprabhu. So he could see the state of affairs in this area, and not only this area, but the entire world. And he was lamenting for the people of Kali Yuga. So we know the pastime. Actually, the Mother Ganges is flowing right near here. So he took some Ganges water. He had one shalagram shila. And he began offering Ganges water and tulsi leaves to the shalagram. And he began to appeal to the Supreme Lord to please appear in this age and rectify this situation. Actually, it's described his loud calling pierced the coverings of the universe and went all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. And there, Lord Krishna heard his appeals. So of course it was simultaneously the time for the Yuga avatar to appear. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radhe Krishna Nahayanga. Radha and Krishna combined together in one form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the color of Radharani? Tapta Kanchana Ghorange Radhe Vrindavan Ishware. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he had the same color as Radharani. The inside consciousness, the inner consciousness is often reflected externally. Just like when you become very angry, your face becomes flushed, it becomes red. When you become very afraid, then your face becomes white. A reflection of your inner consciousness. So the innermost mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that he wants to understand, Krishna wants to understand the loving sentiments of Radharani. This is the inner mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore he descended in this mood, in this color, golden form, the golden avatar. So these are the various reasons that Sri Krishna decided to appear at this very spot. Just 20 meters away under this tree, he appeared as the son of Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. It is said by doing one thing, the Lord accomplishes many things. So his appearance, as was predicted, showed the Yuga avatar. He also satisfied the appeals of Sri Advaita Acharya, and he was also able for his own internal reasons to come here to experience the love of Srimati Radharani and also to distribute that Krishna Prema all over the world. These are various reasons Mahaprabhu appeared. And the purpose of the Lord's mission was fulfilled even at his birth. Because he wanted to spread this Krishna prema, he wanted to spread this process specifically to the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So even before his appearance, people were chanting Hare Krishna. Because he appeared during a lunar eclipse. At that, during a lunar eclipse, it's generally considered an inauspicious time. When Rahu is eating the moon. But because of that, everyone, even the Muslims who were living in this area, they were also, everyone was bathing in the Ganga because that is auspicious. It counteracts the inauspicious influence of the eclipse. So everyone was bathing in the Ganga. They were all chanting, Hari, 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 Bo. And the Muslims were imitating, mimicking, making fun of the Vaishnavas or the people who were chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna, ha ha ha, Krishna. But nonetheless, they were chanting and the benefit is there. So in this auspicious situation, the Supreme Lord descended and made his appearance right here. This is the tree, or the descendant of the tree, under which Satyamata delivered little Nimai. Actually, the original town of Navadvip was situated in this area. So as the centuries progressed, the Ganges has shifted her course many times, so forth and so on, and people have had to move, etc. So by the 19th century, in the 1800s, people had actually forgotten where was the actual Yogapith, where was the actual place that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And of course it is very, very important for us, the exact spot where the Supreme Lord makes his descent into the material world. It's a very special place, full of transcendental potency. Devotees want to come here to take shelter, to pray, to get mercy. But through the centuries, people forgot where the actual spot was. And some people were saying it was, 10 kilometers this way, some people were saying down that way, and they were actually ill-motivated. They wanted to make money. This is the spot Mahaprabhu appeared. So then people would come and they would charge money and they would sell things. And this way they were making a money off of this their so-called Yogapith where Mahaprabhu appeared. So it was one of the strong desires of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he moved here for his government service to rediscover the actual location of Mahaprabhu's appearance. But it was very difficult because everyone was saying something different. So he got out maps, certain maps that were drawn up by British surveyors, and he could understand the situation some 100 or 200 or 300 years before from those maps, what the situation of this area looked like. So he, at least from that, he could understand wherever they said the Yogapith was, it wasn't there. He had some idea it was maybe in this region. But of course, nothing short of a divine revelation could actually rediscover the place. So of course, those miracles happen to saints. They don't happen to ordinary people. They happen to saints and pure devotees. It is through saints and pure devotees that the Lord reveals his transcendental pastimes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in his house across the Jalangi there, some kilometers away. One evening he was looking over in this direction and he saw a powerful beam of light come down and shine on this very spot, very powerful from the heavens. He had many visions from that house. He also envisioned the city of Sridhar Mayapur, which we're presently building. So in his heart of hearts, he understood this is a divine indication that this was the place where Mahaprabhu appeared. So he immediately rushed over here. But when he came here, this was a colony of Muslim people who were living in this area. And it was also inaccessible because right around that area of the tree, there was a dense foliage of tulsi trees. Tulsi plants. Of course, the Muslims don't understand the spiritual significance of Srimati Tulsi Devi, and generally they just cut her down and throw away like some weed or something. But they hadn't touched this spot around here because every time they tried to approach, there was some transcendental energy, some potency coming from that place, which caused them great fear. So none of the Muslims cut down the tulsis around this area. And of course, those tulsis were surrounding this tree. So in this way, this sacred tree had been protected. Been protected by Krishna's pure devotee, Srimati Radharani, or Srimati Tulsi Devi. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he made a great proclamation that he had this vision that this is the place, the actual place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. But some may have doubted him, so by the arrangement of the Lord, Jagannath Das Babaji, who was still alive at that time, I think he was 132 years old or something like that at that time, he came in a palanquin being carried by four strong men. At that time he was so old he couldn't walk. And he could hardly see because the skin of his eyebrows had, you know, it just became very like loose, so it was just covering his eyes. Whenever he had to see something, he had to lift up the skin over his eyes and look around to see something. So when he came, as he approached this sacred spot, he could, with his spiritual perception, could also perceive the divine nature of this place. And in great ecstasy, he jumped several feet out of his palanquin, jumped out of it, and began dancing in ecstasy, just like you see these young boys. The young boys are dancing so nice and ecstasy. Right there, he began dancing, much to the amazement of all the Vaishnavas, because he was crippled. He began dancing in ecstasy. So, the Vaishnavas took it. Here's another indication. This is the actual Yoga Peeth. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's desire was to build a beautiful temple here to so that people could come and see Sriman Mahaprabhu and take advantage of this holy spot. He wanted to build a temple. So when they began the excavation for this temple, which is just before us here, as they dug in the ground, they discovered a deity of Adoksaja Krishna, which was the original deity worshipped by Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. So again, this was the final conclusion for everyone. This is the actual spot. And if you looked very closely, I don't know if you saw, but that deity is still on the altar there, Adoksaja deity, right before the feet of Mahaprabhu. So finally it was established beyond a doubt, this is the actual Yoga Peeth. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted very much to build a temple here, but his Namahata movement, it wasn't so big at that time, so it was difficult to collect funds for constructing a temple. He was actually rejuvenating the bhakti cult. He was rejuvenating Vaishnavism in this area. So, but at that time, he didn't have so many followers. So in the mood of perfect humility, which is representative of a pure Vaishnava. Trinadapi sunichana, torapi sahistana, amanina, manidana, kirtana yatsadahari. In the mood of perfect humility, Bhaktivinoda Thakur journeyed to Calcutta, and he went door to door, and he personally collected money, even from the house of his political enemies, it's described, to construct this temple. So we can see how hard the pure devotees work to establish the mission of the Lord. These temples didn't just come out of the air, they were the efforts born from the desire of devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
So
that in the future, devotees, as he desired, from all different corners of the world, from different parts of the world, could come here and take shelter and become purified for the Sankirtan mission. So actually it is on the invitation of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we have been able to come here. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his vision was very broad. He saw the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only for local Navadvip, Mayapur, even just India, but as Mahaprabhu predicted, it would go to every town and village of the world. This was the vision of the Acharyas. So he could foresee this happening. So he built this temple for the worldwide devotees. So we must thank Bhaktivinoda Thakur for pioneering this Krishna conscious movement, for establishing this temple, for sending the first book to McGill University in Canada, and everything else that he has done so that we can become devotees. He himself made the prediction that one day a great personality will appear who will spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world. So it is by his mercy that we sit at the lotus feet of this Kalpa Vriksha tree today. We also took darshan of Lord Shiva, the Shiva Lingam, just over here during our parikrama. And then we saw the deities just behind here, Gorga Dadhar. These were the personal deities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We worship Gaur Nitai, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he worshipped Gaur Gadadhar. The very special deities. And just as we took the turn, around the temple there, that little temple, we also saw his personal deities of Lakshmi and Sringa. Very large deities of Lakshmi and Sringa. You see Nisringa Deva's blue there. They paint him blue. So devotees should take special shelter of Shishi Gorga Dadhar and Lakshmana Sringa and pray for their mercy. They were worshipped by a pure devotee. There's so much potency there. This is a spot which is very, very dear to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because it was from this particular spot, this Yoga Peeth, that the Sankirtan movement started and has gone all over the world. If you have any extra time, you can come back here and chant japa or have kirtan at this holy place. So of course this is where Mahaprabhu appeared, but his Sankirtan activities began in this area, particularly in Srivas Angam, in the house of Srivas Thakur. So we will go there now and we'll have kirtan in that very sacred place where the whole chanting of the holy names actually began. We'll have kirtan there and we'll ask His Holiness Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj to address us at that place about the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement and the chanting of the holy names. And then we will visit the Samadhi Mandir of Bhaktisiddhanta
Saraswati.
And then personally I have to be back by 2, or at the latest 2:30, back at our temple. Okay, so we'll try to move with the idea in mind of being back around 2 o'clock. Shri Navadvip Maya Padam Ki, Shri Yogapith Ki, Jagannath Misa Sachimata Ki, Little Nimai Pandit Ki, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki, Shri Shri Gorgadadhar Ki, Shri Shri Lakshmina Singhadeva Ki, Satchidananda Bhakti Vinota Kur Ki, Itai Gor Premanandi, Worldwide Iskan Ki, Gor Premanandi.
Did by Srila Indradumna Swami to speak. And I feel humbled by that request. Because all of you sitting here today are members of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And Srila Indradumna Swami, he is a great general in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So I feel quite insignificant to speak in his presence in such a sacred place. Because this place is the home of the Sankirtan movement. This is the house of Srivas Thakur. And 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates would congregate in this place, and they began the congregational chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya at that time was known as Nimai Pandit. Pandit means that he was a learned scholar. And indeed, he was the greatest scholar in the whole Navadvip area. He had a school, and in his school, he taught Sanskrit grammar and logic. So he was always absorbed in this teaching of Sanskrit and logic and defeating the logical arguments of the other logicians. He was the most popular personality of all of Navadvip. He was practically 7 feet tall. His body was like molten gold. He had the most ecstatically long, wavy black hair. He had eyes like beautiful lotus flowers. He would dress in the most ecstatically gorgeous garments. And he and his students, they would be running here and there in Navadvip as he taught them. And he didn't show so much affection or so much inclination for the school of bhakti. Many times the great Vaishnavas, they would come to Nimai Pandit. And they'd say, "Oh, Nimai Pandit, when will you give up this logic? And when will you become a great devotee of the Lord?" And he used to say, "Don't worry. One day I'll become a great devotee of the Lord. I'll become such a great devotee that Krishna himself will come to have darshan of me." And when the devotees would hear that, they'd put their fingers in there and they'd go, "Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," because they didn't want to hear this sort of talk. So it's described that at one point in Mahaprabhu's life, his father passed away. And after a year after his father passed away, he went to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony. And at that time, he had darshan of his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri Goswami. And Ishwarapuri, he initiated Mahaprabhu into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He looked at his student, Mahaprabhu, and he said, "Some people say you're a pundit, but you're a great fool." People in this age of Kali, they're not qualified to understand Vedanta. In this age of Kali, people should simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare.
So Mahaprabhu, he took those instructions of his spiritual master within his heart. And he began chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he started becoming just like a madman. Later he went to his spiritual master and he said, "Guru Maharaj, I've been chanting this mantra which you've given me, but it's not having good effect." And his Guru Maharaj said, "What is the effect of this mantra? What is it having on you?" He said, "I'm becoming mad. I'm chanting this mantra and tears are coming on my eyes. My hair is standing on end. I'm losing my consciousness." And his Guru Maharaj said, "Ochin harasho." He said, "Very good, you're chanting this mantra so nicely. So go on chanting Hare Krishna mantra." So then Mahaprabhu returned to Navadvip. And then everyone started worrying about him. They started thinking, Nimai Pandit is not the same. We think that maybe he has gotten some disease. Nimai Pandit is becoming crazy. His wife was so worried. Day and night, Nimai is simply crying. His students, they would catch him not only singing the holy names of Krishna, but singing the holy names of the greatest devotees of Lord Krishna. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, he started coming in the evening to this house of Srivas Thakur. And he would gather all of the great Vaishnavas. And they would come just in the evening time at sunset. And they would make sure that there were no smarta ritualistic Brahmins and no people who followed Shankar's philosophy present within their midst. And they would close the doors. And Mahaprabhu would pick up the cartels. And he would start leading the kirtan. And he starts singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And Mahaprabhu would begin dancing in transcendental ecstasy. And this chanting would go all the night long. From sunset to sunrise, this Prem Sankirtan would go on in the house of Srivas Pandit. Naturally, all the non-believers, the smarta Brahmins that lived in the area, they were trying to figure out what is going on in the house of Srivas Pandit. Those mad Vaishnavas have gotten together. They must be taking some intoxication within Srivas's house.
And they're crying and rolling and dancing throughout the night under the influence of some intoxication. But to that point, Mahaprabhu did not allow the Sankirtan to go outside of the house of Srivas Pandit. One night they came and they started their Sankirtan. And after some time of chanting and dancing, all the devotees, they noticed that they weren't experiencing the ecstasy which they had experienced in the previous evening's chanting. So Mahaprabhu said, "Stop the kirtan. There must be a non-believer in this place. Search the premises." So they started searching throughout the whole house of Srivas Thakur. And then they found one big straw basket in the corner of Srivas's house. And somebody happened to take the lid off the basket and look inside. And they found the mother-in-law, Srivas Pandit, inside, who was an atheist. They said, "Doshvadanya, you have to go." They threw her out. So this chanting was going on and on. And one evening, at the end of the kirtan, Mahaprabhu called all of his devotees together. And he started giving them different assignments. And he called Haridas and he called Nityananda Prabhu. And he said, "Oh Haridas, oh Nitai, I have some service for you." And they said, "My dear Lord, whatever service you have, we'll gladly execute." He said, "Today, I want you to go to each and every house in Navadvip, and I want you to knock on the door of each and every house in Navadvip and request people to chant the holy names of Lord Krishna." So naturally, Haridas and Nitai were in great ecstasy. And that morning they went out through the streets of Navadvip, requesting everyone, "My dear brother, please worship Krishna. Please study the words of Krishna. And please chant the holy names of Lord Krishna." And so many people, just upon seeing Haridas and Nitai, they became ecstatic devotees. And so many of them, they saw Nitai and Haridas and they said, "Oh, the Vaishnava beggars have come, let's get rid of them." Then they went to that section of the city where they found Jagai and Madai. And Nitai, in great humility, he approached Jagai and Madai and he begged them to take the holy name. And then they started chasing them. So then they returned to this place in the evening and they gave their Sankirtan score to Lord Chaitanya. And Nitai said, "It was great on Sankirtan today, we almost got killed." And Mahaprabhu, he heard the whole story. And from Nitai. Then he turned to Haridas. He said, "Haridas, what's your idea?" He said, "Nitai is mad. I never want to go preaching with him again. He almost got us killed. We're trying to start a new religion. We're running through the streets, people chasing us. People will never take us seriously." But then upon hearing the reports of merciful Nitai and Haridas, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take his entire Sankirtan party from the house of Srivas Pandit through the streets of Navadvip, and in this way, the Harinam Sankirtan movement originated and it began. And the first the first event of that Nam Sankirtan movement is that they saved the two rascals, Jagai and Madai. Now, Tamdas Thakura said, Tapi papi jatachilo harinam udarilo tarashakshi jagai or madai. That all the people who were burning in the fire of material existence, and those people who are completely full of every variety of sin, can be saved through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the proof of this is that Jagai and Madai were saved. So since that time, all of our great devotees of the Lord and our great acharyas, they've come to this house of Srivas Thakur, and they've prayed in his house, please, my dear Lord, and please, O dear associates of the Lord, give me power that I can engage in your holy Sankirtan mission. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had the vision of how Lord Chaitanya's Nam Sankirtan movement was spread throughout the entire world. And that vision was accepted so perfectly within the heart of his son, his divine grace Srila Saraswati Thakur. And he was such a great stalwart, pure Vaishnava devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that by the power and purity of his preaching, he implanted that vision of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur within the heart of our Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is such powerful Vaishnavacharya that he has taken that desire of all of our acharyas and he's placed it within our hearts. Some time ago, I was in Nalchik and I was meeting with Srila Niranjan Swami. And we were sitting and we were discussing about Srila Prabhupada. And I said that the glories of Srila Prabhupada are that he spread the holy name of the Lord in every town and village of the world. But Srila Niranjan Swami, he said that the glories of Srila Prabhupada are not only that he spread the holy name, but he gave everyone, because Prabhupada has so much faith on the holy name of Krishna, that he gave everyone in the world total access to the holy name of the Lord through so many different activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. So Srila Prabhupada's wonderful transcendental books, through so many temples and ashrams and farms and schools, through dioramas, through ITV, opening restaurants throughout the world. Why? What is the idea behind all of these different things? That people will have total, complete access to the name of Krishna. And by chanting this name, every deficiency or every impurity that's within our heart will be washed away. Everything which is blocking our progress in pure devotional service will be removed through the chanting of these holy names and the association of pure Vaishnavas. So this is a very important place for all of us members of Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Society. And we should pray for blessings in this place. We should pray for the blessing of being an instrument in the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. The highest principle that Lord Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita is sarva dharmam parityajya mamekam saranam braja aham tam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masuchaha, that we should abandon every form of religiosity and simply surrender to him, that this is the highest form of religiosity. And then, practically in one of the next verses, Lord Krishna, he explains what will be the mentality of a person who will abandon everything else and surrender to him. That he'll give his life for preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire universe. And there Lord Krishna says that there's no one who will be more priya-bhakta, there's no one who will be more dear devotee to me than one who will preach Krishna consciousness. So we should pray here to the feet of Srivas Thakur, we should pray here to the feet of Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva, that they'll bestow their mercy upon us, and that life after life after life after life after life will be instrumental in the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is the only medicine for suffering society today. Shri Panchatattva ki, Shri Panchatattva ki, Shri Panchatattva ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki, Gopremanande, Lakshmi Nisringa Traveling Sankirtan Festival Program ki, Srila Indra Dumna Sami Maharaj ki.